You've heard the identity theft protection ads for years, but do you really need it? Hi, I'm Rob West. Today, dozens of companies sell identity theft protection, so people obviously buy it. But what exactly are they getting, and is it really worth it? We'll explore that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, first of all, let's be clear about something. Identity theft is a major problem that continues to grow, affecting millions of people every year. Identity thieves are active with credit card, insurance, and tax fraud schemes. It's no wonder that so many companies offer protection. Yet, we should always avoid letting fear dictate our financial decisions. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and of self-control. We can look at the facts and risks of any given situation, pray for guidance, and make an educated decision." So let's take a look at what's typically offered with these plans. Of course, not every plan will have all of these features. Setting up access to your credit reports and your credit score. Monitoring your credit reports for suspicious activity and alerting you of it, like new accounts in your name. Helping you set up fraud alerts on your credit report, again, making it more difficult for thieves to open accounts. Monitoring the dark web for signs that your personal information is being misused. Helping you dispute fraudulent accounts and charges in your name. Monitoring for misuse of your Social Security number and alerting you if it's used in suspicious activity. Various browser protection tools that protect your personal information when you go online, alerting you of unsafe sites. Finally, some companies offer insurance policies that cover certain costs associated with identity theft recovery. We're talking about legal fees and even lost wages. Okay, there's your list of typical features in an identity theft protection plan. And depending on how many of them a plan contains, you might pay anywhere from $750 to $70 a month for that protection. So the question is it really worth it? Well, I would have to give you an unequivocal maybe. It all depends on your circumstances, which we'll get to in a minute. But first, let's look a little closer at each of the typical features. You'll notice that almost all of them are things you can do yourself. Setting up access to your credit reports. Just go online to Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax for this, or order your reports from all three at annualcreditreport.com. Monitoring your credit reports. Again, easy to do on your own. Do it every 6 months for peace of mind. You can also set up fraud alerts on your own at the credit bureaus. Disputing fraudulent charges and accounts. Again, doing this yourself on the credit bureau sites is easier than you think. Safe browsing tools. All browsers like Safari and Chrome have these features. You just need to activate them. Now, a couple of features that you probably can't do yourself are monitoring the dark web and monitoring specifically for misuse of your Social Security number. However, if you're doing the things already mentioned, such as monitoring your credit reports, adding fraud alerts, and disputing fraudulent activity, you probably don't need much else. As for the insurance component to cover you for financial losses, again, you can dispute fraudulent activity on your credit reports. It may take time to sort things out, but it's nothing you can't do on your own. There's something else to consider about these plans. They're called identity theft protection, not identity theft prevention. Almost every feature is about fixing something that's already happened, and they really prevent very little. By far, the most powerful thing you can do to prevent identity theft is to freeze your credit at all three credit bureaus. It's free, and you can freeze and unfreeze it at any time you want. Your credit should always be frozen unless you're applying for a loan or other new credit. You would then temporarily unfreeze it. This prevents lenders from checking your credit, so identity thieves can't open accounts in your name. Okay, does all of this mean you should never purchase an identity theft protection plan? Not at all. If this is something you worry about and having a protection plan will give you a good night's sleep, by all means, go ahead. Just do your homework first as you would with any product, and certainly if it's offered to you for free as a result of a recent data breach, don't hesitate to take it. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, you can call that number 24/7. I'm Rob West, and we're just getting started, so don't go anywhere. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Yuck, I don't like lasagna. Sweetheart, you've never had lasagna. I don't like it. Honey, you don't know that until you try it, so please just try it. You know, I can't even count the number of times I've had that conversation with my kids. It can be exasperating. If they just taste it, they'd love it. But that's the catch, isn't it? How can you love what you've never tasted? Psalm 34 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." So let me ask you, do you hunger after God? Jesus once described Himself as the living bread. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial-strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7.05 p.m. Central, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage, LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Well, I'm so glad you're joining us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. Our hope and desire and prayer, frankly, for you is that you'd be that wise and faithful steward. We want to help you manage God's money, and we do that each day during this hour, which means this program is yours, open for your calls and questions on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We have a few lines open, although they're building quickly. Well, in the news today, the 2025 Social Security cost of living adjustment is now official. That's right. The Social Security Administration has announced that it will be 2.5%. Already, critics are complaining that it won't be enough to cover increased costs for seniors, and you can understand why if you've been to the grocery store recently. The increase is the lowest since 2021, when the benefits were raised by only 1.3%. The Social Security COLA, as it's referred to, is determined by the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, from the third quarter of last year to the third quarter of this year. Those numbers indicate that the pace of inflation has clearly declined, which is probably the case. What the numbers don't show is that the price increases caused by 3 years of heightened inflation remain in effect. In other words, there's no price rollback when inflation recedes. While the overall inflation rate may be right around that 2.5% number, some commodities always seem to have higher increases. These include fuel and gasoline, specifically in the food category, eggs, chicken, flour, rice, and coffee. And if you're like me, that coffee one will get you. Seniors hoping for a bigger increase will have to adjust their budgets accordingly, because that's the number. And obviously, we've got to live within our means. And so right-sizing that budget is always key. But that's the number, 2.5%. It's official for 2025. If you're receiving Social Security benefits, you're going to see a check 2.5% higher next year than you did this year. All right, let's turn to your calls and questions today. Again, that number with just a few lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Pennsylvania. Hi, Lee. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question on long-term insurance, the raising premiums, and mine raised more than 25% from last year.
Yeah.
And how do you decide if you take the increased premium or reduce benefits or reduce the inflation rate or the monthly benefit?
Yeah. You know, it's a great question, Lee. And unfortunately, we're getting this call a lot just because it's very common. Even though they have to do these increases in the aggregate, they can't do it based on individual policies. With the rising cost of healthcare, along with everything else, they're having to continually raise these premiums. And some of those increases are substantial. I mean, clearly a 25% hike in a premium is not insignificant. And I realize that can put a damper on the budget. So how should you think about this? Well, obviously, if you can afford the increase, and that's the key, because if you can't afford it and you end up having to drop the policy, then it doesn't do you any good. And you've lost all the money that you paid, covering that risk while you had it in force. But if what it's going to take for you to continue with it is reducing those benefits to maintain the same premium, then I'd say go for it. If you can absorb the increase, that's, of course, the safest approach. It'll give you more coverage if you need it. But I think, having that option to kind of downsize the policy to keep the premiums where they are, either by a lower daily benefit or, kicking off that inflation rider or a combination of the two, maybe extending the waiting period. Those are all levers you can pull to keep that more affordable. The challenge is if you can absorb this one, what about the next one and the next one and the next one? And I realize that's the problem with these. And others listening might say, well, do I even really want them? And, it's a real predicament because, this is probably your largest risk in this season of life financially, that you would need some sort of, skilled long-term care that, runs $8,000 or $9,000 or $10,000 a month. And, it could erode your assets in a hurry. And that's where these policies, whether it's a full kind of full policy with, full benefits that would cover 100% of what I just described, or something ratcheted down that would at least offset that burden so you take some of the pressure off your own assets. I mean, I think either of those are better than nothing, but as these premiums get more and more expensive, it just creates a real predicament. So I think short answer is if you can absorb it, let's do it and save the downsizing of the benefits maybe for future increases down the road. But if it's really going to come down to letting it go or downsizing the policy benefits, I would take the latter. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I understand it has to raise, but it's
yes.
over $1,000 in 1 year. Why? Okay, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, boy, that is challenging. Now, are you in a position right now, Lee, where you could absorb that?
I could absorb it, and my age is, 82, so
yes,
I'm not sure, how long or when I would need it.
Yes, yes. So. Well, and that's the key, and I love the fact that you've got it in place there. And I think the extent to which we can continue to hang on to this as long as you can until, if you need to collect, that time comes, is certainly better than not having it at all. That's for sure.
What about reducing the inflation option from 4% to 2.6. Is that?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I mean, I kind of like that option, even though, you know, long-term care inflation has been running closer to 4. I mean, that is a subtle erosion of your benefits, but it's better than nothing, and I would probably go there first. I wouldn't eliminate the inflation rider, but I'd probably go there first before I would start dropping that daily benefit if it were me.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your call today, Lee. We appreciate it. And let's hope that these increases at best level off or slow the pace of increase. I know that that's problematic. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to Arkansas. Hi, Rhonda. Go ahead.
Hi. My husband is within 4 months of retirement, and we were wondering if it would be wise to move some of his 401k into something that's not as much at risk.
Yeah. You know, anytime you're getting closer and closer to retirement, which everybody is because we're all aging, we want to, over time, get more conservative in our investments. We want to move from kind of that capital growth phase during our prime working years and start shifting more into the capital preservation phase. Now, even when we hit retirement and, you know, he moves on to what God has next, which may or may not involve paid work, I still want some growth component in there because that's going to help to offset the effects of inflation. And, you know, we can still take a long view. I mean, even at age 70, you know, we'd probably need to be thinking in terms of the money lasting 2 to 3 decades more. So there's still the ability to be long term, but we want the bulk of the money, you know, at 65, we want the bulk of the money, you know, in more of a fixed income type approach, which would be more like a 45 to 50% of the portfolio. What are your ages right now?
He's 66.
Okay, yeah. So I would say ideally you'd be in a portfolio that's probably somewhere between 50-50 stocks to bonds or 60-40 bonds to stocks. So start getting more conservative, and there's going to be some options in that 401k plan that allow you to do that, where you still got a good chunk in stocks, but you're moving more and more to fixed income as you get closer to retirement. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at guidestonefunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Tired of campaign ads, candidate rhetoric, and a mailbox full of flyers? Are you thinking of sitting out this election? Don't do it. As Christians, it's our responsibility to be salt and light. How can we influence our nation for godly values if we don't make our voices heard? Show your support for candidates who share our biblical values by voting wisely. Use iVoterGuide.com as a free tool to help you identify those candidates. Be a good steward of your vote on November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, have you thought about the fact that there are some big ideas that jump out of God's Word and just our practical experience of managing God's money that I believe are true? You know, I've been doing this a long time. I just totaled it up the other day on the 6 years that I've been hosting this program, two of those here on American Family Radio, but 6 years across the entire syndicated network that this program is on. I've answered over 20,000 questions. Kind of hard to believe. And, you know, there's some observations that I've taken away in those 6 years and 20,000 questions. You know, one of them is that money is the most common counterfeit God. Think about this. You know, we know that our hearts are idol factories. I think it was Wesley that said that. And, you know, as you think about that, I mean, so we don't worship 10-foot or 20-foot golden statues in this day and age, but we do put up idols, things that rival for our devotion with God. And I would submit here in our Western culture and pretty much anywhere for that matter, money is the most common of those idols or counterfeit gods. And so we have to be on our guard against that. Money is not evil. Remember, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, but money is a good gift from God, a creation from the Lord to be used as a resource, as a tool to bless others through our giving, to provide for our families, to enjoy. Remember in 1 Timothy, he says we're to enjoy what he's entrusted to us, but we can't let it creep in. You remember, he also said we cannot serve God and money in Matthew 6:24. So we've got to choose this day who we will serve. Our culture would tell us that money will provide security and significance, even satisfaction. And I would submit that those are the things that only ultimately God can provide. Even though we can enjoy money, God is our true treasure. He is our source of satisfaction and abundance and security and significance in our identity found in Jesus Christ. Money then becomes, in its rightful place, a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Well, we want to help you absorb that in your thinking, but also allow that to flow through you in terms of the practical ways that you handle God's money on a daily basis. That's the goal of this program each day. We want to invite you to bring us your questions today. Let's add to that 20,000 number. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. I would also submit that if you have a testimony, maybe God's been at work in your financial life and you'd like to share that with us, give us a call and let us know that. Let's go to Ohio. Hi, Colleen. How can I help?
Hi there. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband and I just got a letter last week, and I only just had a chance to look at it this morning before this call, and it was from Change Healthcare, and it was about talking about a security breach, a data breach, and my first thought was, is this a scam letter? Yeah. And it gave a website of changecybersupport.com, mm-hmm. and I hadn't even been able to look at it until, like I said, this call, but it said the data breach was between February 17th of 24 and February 20th of 24. They say they've alerted the law enforcement. And I was just wondering, is this a valid letter?
Yes.
My husband and I enroll? Okay.
Yeah, it likely is. So Change Healthcare is a medical payment processing company used by United Healthcare.
and probably other insurance companies as well. And so Change Healthcare did experience a significant data breach. Now, here's what I will say. If they are asking you to take action, you still need to verify that the letter you received is legitimate, because what can happen is, even though this is a real situation, scammers will often kind of piggyback on these actual data breaches and get you to respond and provide your personal information to them. And then they use that to compromise or, you know, conduct identity theft at that point. So what you'd want to do is, before you do anything, you'd probably want to call your insurance company and, you know, just ask them if there's steps you can take to protect your personal information. Are they offering free credit monitoring, or what is the step they're asking you to take?
They are. It says how to enroll in IDX credit and identity monitoring services.
Okay.
And they give that website plus a toll-free number to call.
Okay, got it. So what I would probably do is go directly to the company's website, Change Healthcare, and find the instructions there, as opposed to following the instructions that came to you in the mail, just to be sure you're getting to the right place and you're not getting somewhere that's, you know, somebody's impersonating based on this real event that occurred. Does that make sense?
It does. And that was my concern, is how do I know that this is not, like I said, a scam letter, which it kind of seemed like, because we haven't been under it very long. And it's like, wait a minute, these are days before we were even in it.
Yeah. Well, if I had to guess, it's legitimate, just because there is this event that occurred with a significant data breach related to Change Healthcare. And what inevitably follows when that happens is an offer for free credit monitoring, which is a good thing. If they're going to offer it to you free, let's take advantage of it. But it's worth that extra step to make sure this isn't somebody capitalizing fraudulently on this event that occurred and getting you to release your personal information. So the alternative is, as opposed to calling the number in the letter, you go directly to Change Healthcare on the web, read about the data breach, which they will inevitably have an article on it or a bulletin or an alert, and they'll tell you what steps to take. And because you're sourcing that information yourself, you'll know that it can be trusted.
Well, I appreciate the information. Thank you very much for your ministry.
You're very welcome, Colleen. Thank you for your call today. Lord bless you. We're going to take a quick break here. That's what that music means. Mark, coming your way, I know you want to talk about the Timothy Funds, and we'd love to do that. We also want to head to Philadelphia and talk to Tony. He's going to be getting Medicare soon, and he has lots of insurance companies vying for his business. He's wanting to know about a local faith-based option that he found. We'll talk about that. Plus room for your questions as well. We've got lines open on Faith and Finance here. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
When you're shopping for toothpaste, does suggested profanity in their commercial cause you to be more likely to buy it? No. You want clean teeth, fresh breath, and maybe some whitener, right? Well, Hello needs to hear that the implication of foul language doesn't increase your desire to buy their toothpaste. In fact, the opposite is true. Please sign the petition at 1millionmoms.com asking Hello to cancel their strangely noticeable commercial and be more responsible in their ads. 1millionmoms.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, right here on American Family Radio, where we want to help you shape and form a biblical worldview in every area of your life, including the area of money management. You know, I was sharing before the break that I've answered now, I just calculated this the other day, more than 20,000 questions in the last 6 years on this program around money and money management. And, you know, when you do something 20,000 times, you learn a few things, or at least you make some observations along the way. One of those that I shared before the break is that money is the most a common counterfeit God, at least in my experience. If something is going to rival God for first position in our lives, it's most often going to be money. Another observation, God is the true owner of everything. I am simply his money manager, and here's what that means. I don't possess ownership rights. I instead have stewardship responsibilities. That's a big idea, and it has profound implications for our day-to-day money management. It means we have to be faithful in the little things. It means we have to recognize we'll be accountable. It means that we have to know that we should hold it loosely because it's not ours in the first place. It means that we've got to know the master's heart, because anytime you're a manager, and that's what that word steward means in the New Testament, it means household manager. So think somebody managing the household of another person. Well, that person who's managing the household knows when they walk into that home every day or wake up there every morning, if they live there, that they don't own anything. They're there to be a caretaker. And that's a big shift in our minds when we think about everything we have belonging to the Lord. I think so often we kind of slip in either, you know, intentionally or unintentionally into this thinking that, well, I own 90% because it was my efforts that made the money. God owns 10%. No, God owns 100%, and the power to create wealth comes from God. That's what we read in Scripture. So hopefully these are some ideas that help you think about this high calling that you have as a steward of God's resources. All right, let's head back to the phones. By the way, still several lines open, and we've got room for you here. We've got this segment and one more. So if you have a question today in your financial life, call us right now, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for being there. I really appreciate your ministry, and I appreciate how you emphasize these, you called them ideas about we don't own it, it's God's. That just validates my attitudes, my wife and I's attitudes.
Well, thank you for saying that, Mark. That means a lot.
So I have most all of our funds that God has us in charge of in Timothy plans, and they're in four different plans. And I decided I would ask the question before I heard the commercial about Timothy funds. And my question is that a good approach? My advisors got four different plans, or the funds in four different plans, and is that a good plan?
Yeah, I like Timothy plan a lot. Their mutual funds are phenomenal investments.
I wouldn't be able to say whether you have exactly the right investment mix, you know, for you based on your age and risk tolerance. That's where your advisor comes in to make sure, number one, you're properly diversified, and number two, you're taking an appropriate amount of risk. But as to that fund family, Timothy Plan, absolutely. You know, their funds are designed to honor God and make the world a better place without sacrificing performance, and I love that. I also know the principals there well, and they're friends, but they also are just really great stewards of that ministry that God has entrusted to them. And they've been longtime partners here at Faith and Finance. In fact, going back even before this program to Dan Celia's program, I know Dan was very close to the Timothy Plan and talked a lot about it and was very positive on it as well. So, yeah, I think you're in a great place. I think the question is just between you and your advisor, you know, what is the right mix of Timothy Plan funds? And, you know, are you in the right types of funds for your age and risk tolerance so that, you know, you're able to continue to grow the money that God has given you, you're able to protect it. But also, you know, you understand, you know, if we were to get into a recession and let's say the broad market was down 20 or 30%, you know, how much of your portfolios in the Timothy Plan would be at the risk of that? And, you know, do you need to get more conservative? I have no idea, but I would say absolutely it's a great fund family.
Well, I thank you for that. I thought so. It was through Dan Celia's promotion of those ideas, particularly the Timothy Fund, that I came to conceive the idea that there was more than just investing and the importance of biblical investments. And you talk about how it's subject to be taken away. I think it was Corey Ten Boom said that grip it lightly, lest it tear your hand when God takes it away.
Yes, yes. Well, we just have to look in the Bible to Job's story and just see. I mean, somebody who just loved and was devoted to the Lord, who had everything taken away in a dramatic fashion, and still, you know, trusted the Lord in that in the end. And, you know, I think we need to hold everything loosely, realizing that, yeah, when you hold something with an open hand, not only can God take it out, but then he can put it in as well. We just don't want to get in that posture of a clenched fist. And it sounds like you and your wife have operated that way as well. So thank you for sharing that testimony today. It sounds like you're on the right track, my friend.
Thank you. And thank you for the part that you and Dan so you have played in that. Thank you so very much.
I appreciate that, Mark. That means a lot. Lord bless you, sir. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. A financial question in your life? Call right now, whether it's your credit score, your investments, like we just talked about with Mark. Maybe it's moving from a more of a traditional secular approach to investing to a biblically honoring approach to investing. I believe this is a conviction matter. I don't think this is a matter of a command in Scripture. And yet, I think many Christians have come down on the side to say, yeah, if I have the ability to align my investments with my values as a believer, meaning I'm kicking out the companies that would be involved in things that are misaligned with my Christian values, and I want to screen in those things that are promoting human flourishing and even a kingdom impact, absolutely I want to do that. Well, that's a viable option today where it wasn't even a few years ago, where you can have phenomenal investments with great performance. So if you want to talk about that or anything else in your financial life, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. Tony, we're going to wait till after this next break and then take you first, because I want to give you plenty of time to ask your question, and I am up against this break here in just a moment. You know, I mentioned just some observations that I've had and hosting this program for the last 6 years, and then being in radio for a long time at the intersection of faith and finance before that. And just in these past 6 years, I've answered, based on my calculations, more than 20,000 questions, and I'm preparing for a message I'm going to give later this week. And so the core of my message is my 10 observations that I've taken away. And so these ideas are fresh in my mind because I was working on this over the weekend. One of those observations is this: how we manage money is one of the clearest reflections of our spiritual state. The late Larry Burkett actually would say something similar. I remember Larry saying that money or money management is the clearest indicator into what's happening in our lives spiritually. Now, why is that? Well, think about it. It's the most tangible display on a daily basis of where we place our trust and what we value. you give me your check register, or if you don't use a check register anymore, you print out your financial account, wherever you pay your bills out of, I'll tell you what's important to you. And the same is true about me. I'm looking in the mirror on this one as well. And the question is, does the way we're handling God's money really line up with what's most important to us in terms of our giving and our investing and creating memories and experiences with our families and putting food on the table? And if not, what changes do we need to make? Think about that. We'll be right back after this.
Two historic hurricanes in 2 weeks. Many in Florida took a 1-2 punch. Milton brought heavy rains, severe wind damage, and a flood of tornadoes. Meanwhile, up in Asheville, North Carolina, many survivors are still without power. I'm David Wolin. Join me all week on Haven Today for a series we're calling Jesus in the Storm.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm sharing some observations that I've had in hosting this program. Observations like money is the most common counterfeit God in our Western culture. God is the true owner of everything. I'm simply his money manager, and that therefore I don't possess ownership rights. I have stewardship responsibilities. Next, how we manage money is one of the clearest reflections of our spiritual state. Here's another one. The Bible offers significant guidance on money with more than 2,300 verses addressing it. And that's good news because, remember, I said earlier, we don't possess ownership rights. We're stewards because we're managers of God's resources. Well, a manager or a steward has to understand the heart of the master in order to manage his money effectively. Well, good news. We know the master's heart because the Bible talks so frequently about this topic of money and possessions. We need to immerse ourselves in God's word and understand those principles so we can honor the master's wishes with his resources. I hope these ideas are an encouragement to you. Hey, let's head back to the phones. The lines are about full, and we've got just one segment remaining. We'll get to as many as we can. To Philadelphia. Hi, Tony. Go ahead, sir. Tony, are you with us? All right, it looks like we may not have Tony at the moment, but we do want to get Tony on. So, Tony, our team will work with you and see if we can get you back on the air. We'll come back to you. To Arkansas, Nikki, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
As I explained to your call screener, my husband is not a believer.
Yeah.
And he has refused to allow me to tithe throughout our marriage. We've been married over 30 years. When I have attempted in the past to tithe and been shut down by him on more than one occasion. I tried to tithe to Christian organizations that weren't necessarily the church, such as Samaritan's Purse, World Vision, that sort of thing, and got shut down on that as well. I recently turned 62. When I did, he was pushing me to go ahead and start collecting Social Security, at which point I told him, I will sign up for Social Security, but I will tithe from that at the very least. And so I did start doing that. But I've recently been nudged by the Holy Spirit that I need to be more giving. And my question is, do I go ahead and tithe, even though my husband is against it? And just a side thing, he has threatened to divorce over this issue in the past.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me just start, Nikki, by saying this is a tough one. And I realize the dilemma that you're in. You want to honor what you believe the Lord is calling you to do, and you want to honor your husband. And I realize there's a disconnect there. And this is why, you know, we see so clearly in Scripture, it says, you know, that we should be, we should avoid being unequally yoked. And it's for this very reason. But you're obviously married. And so now we've got to decide, okay, where do we go from here? And I would say a couple of things. Number one is ultimately this is between you and the Lord, but I love the idea that you're seeking counsel because God's word affirms that. You know, 1 Peter 3 comes to mind. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husband so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. And, you know, I think one of the takeaways from that idea is that, number one, God doesn't need your money, and because he owns it all, the cattle on a thousand hills. But what he does desire above all else is that first your husband would be would surrender his life to Christ. And so let's be absolutely, and I'm sure you have been for as long as you've known him, be praying for that to occur as the paramount objective. But second, God desires unity in that marriage relationship. And I realize, you know, wives submit to your husbands, husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So we both have a responsibility that, you know, is difficult to do, and yet there is a God-honoring approach when we follow the admonition of Scripture. And so I would say, just at face value, I would rather you pursue unity and show respect to your husband as a way of, by God's grace, winning him over to Christ as the paramount objective over your ability to give. But in saying that, I don't want to minimize what you're sensing as the leading of the Holy Spirit in this matter, because that's real. And I understand you are recognizing what I was speaking about earlier, and that is you're a steward of what God has entrusted to you. The challenge is you're not a steward independently, because the moment you get married, you're one flesh, and so two become one. And so now we have the difficult task of managing God's money together as one flesh, and we come with different backgrounds, we come with different personalities, different wirings, and in your case, different faith values. And that makes it really challenging. And so, you know, I would say, even though, you know, ultimately this is your call, and I say this with great humility, my preference would be that you, if you're going to come down on one side or the other, that you come down on the side of unity and following what I'm seeing here in 1 Peter 3 as a way to hopefully, prayerfully win him over to Christ. And that is paramount over the giving. But with that said, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts on all that.
Well, it's what I've been doing in the past, acquiescing to his objection to me not giving.
Yeah.
So I do feel better being confirmed in that decision to honor him.
Yes.
I just didn't want to get in a place where I was honoring him above honoring God.
Yeah. And I fully understand that.
My biggest concern.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, I would go back to God doesn't need our money. He wants you, and he wants your hearts, and he wants your husband's heart surrendered to him. That's the primary objective in the way I read Scripture. Even though we are to be a generous people, I think in this case, you know, the paramount objective is that your husband would come to Christ. Now, what are the other steps that can be taken? And I'm sure you've done these, so I don't want to pretend that these are either something you've overlooked or these are easy, because they're not. But perhaps there's a conversation where, you know, you share your heart. Listen, I would love to be able to be more generous. What does that look like? Can we, you know, add 1% a year to, you know, of increasing this category? Can, you know, what can be done? Can I, you know, sacrifice in other areas and give things up? Like, what can be done for us to have unity and for me to honor you and for you to hear my heart that I want to be generous and serve the Lord, because this is really important to me, not just at a surface level, but at a values and a belief system level. Now, you may have done all that and he may just put his foot down, and I get that. But I would just be prayed up and asking the Lord to soften his heart and, you know, maybe just continue to try that conversation again in love. But paramount to everything is his salvation. And I would say whatever you can do to, by God's grace, see that occur one day, I think that's the primary objective. And you can have confidence in that.
Okay. I appreciate that. And I will take this in prayer and give it more consideration.
I think that's all you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm grateful for your call, Nikki, and I'm confident that this was a call that somebody else needed to hear, if not hundreds of others needed to hear today, because this, you are not alone in this. This is very common. It's difficult. You know, it's how we work out what it means to live in fear and admonition of the Lord and honor Scripture and honor our spouse as one flesh. And, you know, that's not easy in a fallen world. And I think you're doing it to the best of your ability, continuing to pray about it, asking for the Holy Spirit's leading, seeking wise counsel. You're doing all the right things. So you can certainly have some confidence in that. Thank you for calling today. We appreciate it. Let's go to Arkansas. Hi, Wendell. How can I help?
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm at retirement age. Actually, I'm 65. My wife is 65. We have a couple of rental properties, and we actually have three properties, but the one counting the one we live in. I have a small 401k, which I've almost decimated this year, and so there will be some tax implications, I know, coming up next year. I'm looking at retiring, or at least put it this way, I'm not going to retire. I'm going to not work at the employer I'm working at now. That's just my thought process. I'm considering selling these properties I have and taking what's left over and buying something else. But I also recognize right now we're in a seller's market where we live here in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And I'm concerned about if I sell what I have and then try to pay off what little mortgage I have, I won't have enough to actually put down a good sizable down payment on my next property. So yeah. We've been in the rental business for some time now. So we've received rental income, and yeah, we're doing that now.
Yeah. You know, these are great questions. I think it's probably a good time to sit down with an advisor who can look over your overall financial situation and help you put the pieces together. I love the rental business. I love real estate ownership. I also love you being out of debt and having some liquidity. So I think if I were to set some goals, it would be to make sure you have that 3 to 6 months emergency fund, because the fact that you've had to dip into the 401ks tells me you don't. I'd also love to reduce your overall debt. And I like the idea of you having rental income, but I would put your liquidity in your emergency fund and being debt free above that. So I think it's time to sit down with an advisor who could look over all of your situation and help you put this big puzzle together and determine whether after you sell, do you go back with one property or a smaller property, or do you just take all the proceeds and invest it and just try to continue to do that. You can find a CKA in your area when you visit our website, Wendell, faithfi.com. Just click find a professional. I hope that helps. Thanks for your call. This has been Faith and Finance on AFR. Thank you to Sandy, Devin, and Jim. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.